Let's read together Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In these verses, we have a continuation of the exhortation for unity that began in verse 27 of chapter 1. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. All right, let's start with some background notes, first of all. Throughout the book of Philippians, there is an emphasis on the importance of unity amongst Christians. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian believers, he was under house arrest in Rome. He heard that there was a problem of disunity developing within the church at Philippi. Now, if Paul had been free, he most likely would have made a visit to Philippi to help settle this problem. But Paul couldn't go to Philippi. The best he could do was write a letter, and that he did. The epistle to the Philippians is that letter. Now, we're sorry about the disunity at Philippi, but we are glad that Paul had to write this letter because it's part of the Bible, the Word of God. So Satan's attempt to disrupt the work of the Lord at Philippi was overruled by God himself. A book of Scripture was written as a result, which has been a help to innumerable churches down through the years, churches dealing with discord and disunity. Now, what the problem was at Philippi causing the disunity, we don't know. We know it was not some major doctrinal matter, because if it was, Paul would have addressed it in this letter. Maybe the problem had to do with the location of the church. We know from Acts 16 that the church met in Lydia's home, or the Philippian jailer's home, in the early days of its founding. Where they met now in Philippi, we don't know. Maybe some of the believers at Philippi wanted to be an urban church. Maybe some of them wanted to be a more suburban church. We don't know what the problem was. Maybe it was something like that. But the Holy Spirit has not told us what the exact problem was. So this book can be applied to many problems causing disunity in churches today. Now, we mentioned that a specific exhortation for unity begins in verse 27 of chapter 1. And it continues all the way through verse 4 of chapter 2. Remember, in the original letter, there were no chapter and verse divisions. Well, so much for background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal points or teaching points from this first section of Philippians chapter 2. Now, we only have one doctrinal point for this section, but it's in three parts. Here's the doctrinal point. God wants to see unity within his church. God wants to see unity within his church. Look at verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Notice that Paul, as the inspired writer of this book of Scripture, says that his joy will be fulfilled if the Philippians come to unity. Well, Paul has the mind of God here as he writes this Scripture. God is pleased when he sees unity within his church. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, in verse 1 here of Philippians 2, we read of four realities of spiritual unity. This is the first part of our doctrinal point. Realities of spiritual unity. Verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Do you see the four realities of spiritual unity there? Now, why do we say realities when the word if is used? If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Well, the ifs here do not leave any question as to the reality of these things. It's not, well, maybe so, maybe no, because if is used. No. This is known as a first-class condition in Greek. And the ifs really could be translated since. It's like me saying this morning, if you are here in the audience this morning, then listen to the sermon. Well, there's no question whether you're here or not. But you still use sometimes the word if. We could use the word since you are here, then listen to the sermon. Well, this is significant. These qualities of spiritual unity are realities. That is, they do exist. There is consolation or encouragement in Christ when disunity raises its ugly head. There is the comfort of God's love when unloving situations arise. There is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit when Satan would desire to tear apart God's people. There is the affection and mercy or compassion when certain members of the congregation rub us the wrong way. Well, these four realities of spiritual unity are available. They are there. We don't have to make the unity of the Spirit. Our job is to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, in verse 2, we have four characteristics of spiritual unity. Verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see the four characteristics there of spiritual unity? One, being of the same mind or like-minded. Two, having the same love, not love for self, but love for the Lord and his people. Three, being of one accord or united in spirit. And four, being of one mind or intent on one purpose. That is not our agenda, but God's agenda. Four characteristics of spiritual unity. Now remember that unity is not the same as uniformity. Being like-minded and of one mind and intent on one purpose does not mean we have to see eye to eye on everything. Illustration. When our family was growing up, Margie and I were united when it came to the place of TV in our home. The TV was not going to rule our home, and there was going to be some regulation of what the children watched. But now Margie and I were not uniform in our tastes and preferences of programs. But here's the point. We were united as to the place of TV in our home. We were like-minded, of one mind, intent on one purpose. TV was not going to rule our home. When it came to disagreements as to what we thought was okay or not okay for the kids to watch on TV, we worked it out. And it was easy to work out when we kept our united purpose in view. Well, the same can be true in any church. We may have different opinions when it comes to the music program or the structure of the services or even the interior decoration of the church. But we still can be united when it comes to the overall purpose of the local church, to see people come to the Lord and then grow together in the Lord, in worship and fellowship and service. In verses 3 and 4, we have four steps to spiritual unity. Maybe we should say steps to keeping spiritual unity, because, as we mentioned before, we don't have to form the unity of the Spirit. It is formed. We have to keep the unity of the Spirit. But here we have four steps to spiritual unity. What do we do when disagreements come up in the fellowship? Well, we work them out. How do we work them out? The bottom line ultimately is that we submit to the spiritual authority of the spiritual leadership in the church, whether we like it or not. But here's how we start. Verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Do you see the four steps to spiritual unity there? One, do nothing from selfish ambition. Why do we really want decisions in the church to go our way? Is it really for the good of the church? Or is there possibly some hidden selfishness there? Step number two, do nothing from conceit. When you give a large contribution to some ministry, do you give it anonymously? Why not? Now, don't say for income tax purposes. There are ways to give anonymous gifts to the church or to foreign missions or to home missions and still get income tax credit. I think we're like most people. We tend to want people to know that we're big givers. Look at me. Well, that prideful mentality can be a drawback to unity. Step number three, in lowliness of mind or humility, let each esteem others better than himself. We are to consider everyone in the fellowship better than ourselves. Now, that's not easy. Suppose we lined up everyone from this church at the front of the auditorium. Let's call it the importance line. Now, place yourself in that line. You know, your importance, let's say, to this church. Would you place yourself at the head of the line? Would you place yourself at the tail of the line? Probably we'd place ourselves somewhere in the middle, right? We wouldn't be so proud as to place ourselves at the head of the line. Well, according to this verse, we should place ourselves at the end of the line. We should place everyone ahead of us. Now, get the point here. It's not that you are least important to the church, but the verse of Scripture is telling us, consider yourself the least important. Esteem others better than yourself. Now, that attitude will definitely tend for unity within the church. Verse 4, we have a fourth step to spiritual unity. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Did you ever hear about the Christian man who was driving home from work behind a speeding fire engine? All of a sudden, he realized that a house was on fire on his block. But he breathed a sigh of relief when he saw that it was his neighbor's house. Do we have that attitude towards one another here? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let's work at these four steps. God wants to see unity within his church. So under our doctrinal point then, we've had four realities of spiritual unity, four characteristics of spiritual unity, and four steps towards spiritual unity. God wants to see unity within his church. What about practical application? Stop looking around for the perfect church. Stop looking around for the perfect church. Why? Because you'll never find it. And if you do think you've found it, don't join it. Why ruin a good church? Right? Even this church is not perfect. Almost. If only certain people would leave here, then it would be perfect, right? Is that what you think? Seriously speaking, there may be a time to change churches. But when you decide to be part of a fellowship, don't rock the boat. Submit to the spiritual authority in that body of believers. Work towards keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, again, Ephesians 4:3, and stop looking around for the perfect church.